All right, let's do this, Ed. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ed Alexander. Welcome to the show. It's the 24th of September, a Thursday afternoon. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And you can listen to all of our programs live streaming on the station's website, kvoi.com. We also have it over at my website, buckmastershow.com, which is the place for all of our podcasts, and we have the complete archive, and that is available anytime you go to buckmastershow.com. As usual, we have a very full hour for you. We'll begin with an update on the very impending opening. In fact, it's a week from today for the opening of a major retail development in our area. We'll tell you about that. Then Gabriel's Angels, the animals who are making such a difference in the lives of abused kids. Lacey, the dog, is in the house, a three-legged dog that will just steal your heart. Boy, I wish this is one of those times where I wish it was radio and TV so you could see how beautiful this dog Lacey is, one of Gabriel's Angels, but we'll meet the folks behind Gabriel's Angels. And then at 12:30, we'll meet the CEO for Banner-University Medical Center, and then followed by 12:45, a little dash of politics. We'll have City Council hopeful Bill Hunt with us. The live line number 790-2040. And if you'd like to become a friend on Facebook, great. Check out our website, our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster. Also, now we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome Kurt Woody. Mr. Woody is the Economic Development Director for the town of Marana. Kurt, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Big, big things coming up, big activities beginning next Thursday with the opening of a center that is going to be, it's an outlet center. Simon Premium Outlets is the company behind this. Tell us a little bit about this project, the scope of it, Kurt.
The project is 42 acres and close to 400,000 square feet of retail space. This is a phased 42 acres of a 160-acre master plan commerce center there. Simon Properties out of Indiana is one of the largest developers in the world of shopping centers, and they have partnered up with Vintage Partners out of Phoenix to produce this product.
And they have a great location. I mean, they're near I-10 and Twin Peaks Road, so you're going to get all of that interstate traffic, and you're going to get a lot of Mexican visitors coming up, too.
Yes, it is a regional commerce center, they call it. It's a destination place there, so they'll pull from a sizable area, and the international tourism market, shopping market, will be significant coming up to this place. They've identified that when the Hispanic tourist travels across the border, 85% stay over, and it is for shopping purposes, not necessarily to go to our attractions, but to shop at our stores in Tucson. So this will be a sizable project for that.
And you know, it's not just Marana. This is good for the whole region.
It is good for the whole region. We'll draw opportunities not only in the retail sectors, but when this project started, there were other industries such as commercial, industrial, manufacturing. When they see a community that is vibrant and growing mm-hmm. and activity is starting to happen in that region, it wakes those industries up as well. And my phones have been ringing since this project announced over a year ago.
Yeah, folks wondering, hey, what's going on there?
That's exactly right. They want to see what's happening, and is this a community that we can move our business to or expand?
And this has 90 retailers, more than 90, and that to fill the retail stores not only with shoppers, you got to have people that work at those operations, and we're talking hundreds of people here.
They've estimated close to 600 to 700 employees. Most of it, of course, will be entry level retail. There will be some management there. This project will be a significant tax driver for the town of Marana.
And we're talking not only about the shops, but the spinoff could be and probably will be a hotel and eventually an auto mall.
There is an interior loop road, and right across the street from the Premium Outlet Mall will be, it looks to be a Hampton Inn flag at this point. The developer's been into the office talking to our development services team, and they are moving forward with their plans and hope to break ground probably by the end of the year.
I've got the rendering up. Thanks, Ed, for putting that here up on my screen. It's an attractive center, isn't it? You've got a lot of kind of indoor-outdoor space.
We thought the architect did a great job capturing the location, the taking a magnitude of this type of a mall. And when you drive up Interstate 10, you don't get overwhelmed by the size of it. I think they fit it into the landscape very well. The colors are great. It's a nice palette scheme on that. And I personally think it's a better design than the one in Chandler. I really think it's a nice product.
And you come from an architectural background. So I value your opinion.
Yeah, originally, about 200 years ago. Yeah.
Other than this center, which is a huge deal for Marana, you have kind of an economic roadmap and strategic plan going on.
We do. The town has a strategic plan, which was just updated this past year. It was iteration number 3. 2010, about that time frame, the economic roadmap spawned out of that original strategic plan, and it identified 9 activity centers within the town of Marana, or within the planning area of Marana, that identified areas such as Pinal Air Park as transportation-type hubs and freight transport. There's the Tangerine Corridor. There's Tangerine and I-10 retail mixed-use area. There's the Golden Triangle that we call it down in the retail sector. So all these different activity centers were identified. We were just notified last week by the Tohono O'odham Nation that the grant application we submitted was approved. So we will now begin our economic development strategic plan after the first of the year and really laser focus in on what are our niche industries and where we need to focus instead of just taking a shotgun approach.
We kind of have a coming jobs war, don't we, between cities, states, and nations.
The experts in the economic development field think that there is going to be that there will be a shortage of talent, and that it's so critical to start at the K-12 age group all the way up through higher education and the business community, collaborating together to make sure, and we've heard this term many times, the STEMs and the STEAMs are so important to the future workforce. So we've got to start training these individuals, these kids, at an early age and getting them interested in those sciences, technology, engineering, and math.
Your overall economic development philosophy would be what, Kurt Woody?
I think it's quite important to think that if you Google the definition of economic development, you're going to see the 3 pillars, and that is business recruitment, business creation, business retention and expansion. My philosophy of economic development, when I'm in the community talking to folks, it's everything we do in our personal and professional lives every day. It's healthcare, it's education, transportation, infrastructure, recreation, public safety, and what we like to do in the town of Marana is community beautification. Show that the community has some pride in what the town looks like. It allows for people to be, prideful that they live in that community. Companies, when they look to a region to relocate to, they have an executive team that they're going to be bringing with them. Well, that executive teams have husbands and wives and kids, and they want to know if it's a good educational system down there. They want to know if it's a clean community. They want to know if it's a strong, vibrant economic community. So it's really everything we do. And I think it's important for not only our elected officials in our region, but the communities and the folks within our Tucson metropolitan region understand the importance of job growth, economic growth. If you don't have it, look what happens to Detroit. You've got to continue to grow and prosper.
And the town of Marana fits in with a general kind of economic regional plan that Sun Corridor Incorporated, previously known as TRIO, has kind of taken now this broad approach.
We are part of that stakeholder mm-hmm. group, and we wholeheartedly embrace the regional approach. Prior to the renaming to Sun Corridor, Inc., it was TRIO, and it, for the most part, focused on just the metropolitan Tucson region. But as we go forward into the new economy, we're competing globally. So we have to identify the mega region that we live within and compete as a mega region. And that includes everything from Nogales on the border all the way up to Casa Grande for our particular region.
And Marana is doing well. We had our real estate expert on the program yesterday, Raj Kohli, and he was telling us Marana housing is doing very well right now.
Housing is doing very well, has for the past 2 to 3 years. I just did a report update at the Marana Chamber Community and Regional Update, and we are tracking ahead of projection for the year. not only tracking ahead of projection, but we are also leading the entire region in single-family residential permits, including unincorporated Pima County as a whole. So our branding, which is our reputation, is gaining traction. People are looking to Marana as a place to live, work, play, and it's showing.
You know, it started out when the golf tournament, originally they were saying, well, Tucson area. Then they started, the second year it was talking about Marana. That had to help, that kind of branding.
That did help, and there was quite a bit of internal prodding, if you will, from our public information officer and marketing team to
identify it, right?
and use our name once in a while. Let the world know where this tournament is being played.
All right, Kurt Woody, and we can find out more about what you do. Is there a website that you would like to direct people to?
You can go to the Marana website, and there's a section under there under economic development. We have some pieces there that explain the available properties available in the Marana area and the type of things that we're doing, the economic roadmap, strategic plan. So you can get a little bit of flavor of what's happening.
And we do want to again remind people the grand opening of the Tucson Premium outlets near I-10 and Twin Peaks Road will be Thursday. And I guess that's going to be a kind of a weekend celebration.
It will be a weekend celebration. We're going to kick it off starting about 9:45 next Thursday.
All right. Kurt Woody, thanks a lot. It's great having you come by.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
12:15 exactly. And coming up next, Gabriel's Angels, and we're going to meet Lacey the dog. That's coming up.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Darrell Cole. Mr. Cole is City of Tucson Transportation Director. Our Friday roundtable features Tim Steller of the Star and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. No, those are not the sound effects of Lacey, the three-legged dog. Lacey is too good a dog to be barking here on the air. Lacey is with us, as is Jeremy Brown. Jeremy's the volunteer manager for a wonderful organization called Gabriel's Angels. Thank you, Lacey, for giving me a nice lick there and a little kiss. Jeremy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Tell me a little bit about the history of Gabriel's Angels. What is your mission?
So our mission is to reach at-risk youth and help them and nurture them with therapy dogs and help teach them core behaviors that they may have been missed as growing up, you know?
Have you seen wonderful things happen when these dogs interface with these kids who need help?
Absolutely. From just having kids that never showed emotion and having them give love to the dogs for the first time and seeing that is just something that touches your heart. Also, at a couple of the schools that we go to, it's pretty amazing to see how children that never ever went to school because they just didn't want to actually start coming to classes because the dogs are there and they have a reason to be there and they learn because the dogs are there.
These are kids who have been abused, neglected, and they're vulnerable kids. And when a dog like Lacey, a beautiful three-year-old Aussie mix, golden retriever Aussie mix, comes into the room, and they see that this animal is a very loving creature, and the animal only has three legs. What's the reaction from the kids?
You know, the unconditional love and the fact that the dogs don't judge these children makes them more relatable. They're able to teach them things that, you know, adults and other people have probably talked to them about numerous times, and usually the first time the dogs are present with us, we're able to actually have them listen and learn those things, and it's just remarkable.
Each team is trained, and that's partly where you come in. You actually train these animals. I'm curious, how did all of that begin for you as an animal trainer? What's your background?
I actually had a background because of my parents, actually. They worked with the police department. I've been around like dogs my whole entire life, and I actually was a dog trainer for PetSmart for years, mm-hmm. and I started volunteering with Gabriel's Angels with my two therapy dogs, and we've been doing it for over 2 years now, and it's just amazing. It really is.
And Gabriel's Angels has been around how long?
15 years.
15.
The wonderful Pam Gaber and Gabriel started by going to the crisis nursery in the year 2000.
And you have a very big event coming up. This is your big fundraiser of the year, because the Gabriel's Angels is a nonprofit organization.
Yep. Yeah, it's called Salute, and it's actually going to be at Plaza Colonial on Friday night from 6 to 9:30, and it's our annual wine tasting and auction, and this is our third year. We have more items than we've ever had for the auction, and we have amazing restaurants from Southern Arizona here, like Tavolino, Sullivan's, El Charro, Shlomo and Vito's, Beyond Bread, Pastiche, among others, and we thank them for all of the help and support that they have given us.
What goes into training one of these animals? Kind of take us through that.
That's a really good question. Okay. With my two dogs, they're both rescues, and they both kind of actually had different ways. With Lacey, she just, from a very young age when we got her, after she had her leg amputated, she just showed love and compassion more than any dog I've ever seen. And so when she was about a year and 3 months old, her and I took that test, and that's a very young age. to pass that test. And I've had a few others that I worked with that have passed around that age. The average age to pass the test is about 4 years old. And my lab, Archie, who's a little goofy, is the one who passed at 4 years old, actually.
Yeah, and what's the test involve? I'm curious.
So there's a couple different organizations that certify and actually insure our teams. And so they have to be able to deal with chaotic situations where awkward pets, loud noises, crowded, walking through crowds of people, walkers in wheelchairs, and just, you know, pretty hectic situations that the typical dog could not really function well in, and they kind of take it like they're bomb-proof, you know?
We're speaking with Jeremy Brown. Jeremy is the volunteer manager for an organization, a nonprofit here in town called Gabriel's Angels, and their motto is pets helping kids. And there are so many of these kids that that really it cheers them up, and I think it really can turn lives around, can't it?
It absolutely can. Yeah, it really, really can. Like I was saying, the fact that they don't judge. Lacey will walk up to anything that breathes oxygen and get love and attention. And some of these kids have never really experienced that. And so just not being judged and having that love and someone wanting to be around them for the first time can just be something that's, you know, unconditional love is something that really a lot of us take for granted, you know?
And you go to different agencies like Casa de los Niños.
Yep, yep.
And is it mainly kids, or do you go to other like old age facilities for folks, assisted care?
With Gabriel's Angels, we focus on just the youth. And so we pretty much, you know, about a year old to about 17 years old, we work with the children to stop the cycle of violence. And there are other organizations where people will go to retirement facilities and hospitals and stuff like that. Most of the hospitals have their own organization, and you can volunteer through them. And many of the teams actually do multiple types of visits with their dogs.
I'm curious about not only the training, we touched on that briefly, but is there a particular breed of dog that seems to do better in these therapy situations? Because so many times we see the lab as kind of the model dog that is used here. Is there something about the breed, the lab, that makes them kind of special for this type of work?
That's a really good question. I always say that retrievers tend to be a little better at a lot of this stuff. They're, you know, traditionally a lot of them are used for hunting. They can be around gunshots and hear those noises and not be afraid of it. So they can be around children screaming and yelling. And so they just have a temperament that was kind of made for that. Poodles and retrievers are probably two biggest breeds that work for, but volunteer for us. And a lot of them are rescues, which is even more cool because they didn't have the right start, especially Lacey here. And to take them in there and show these children that, look, I know that it's tough, but she can do it, you can too, and it's just pretty awesome.
When you speak of rescues, do you try to go local with the rescues?
My two dogs were actually rescued locally, and a lot of them were from the Humane Society and PAC as well. But, you know, some of them were actually rescued from afar if they're like special breeds, but, you know, it's kind of neat. I'd probably say at least half of our dogs are rescues.
How many dogs do you have, then?
We have 50 teams that are...
50 teams? Yeah, and that gets me to the point about people who would like to volunteer. I often say that if the volunteers were to go away in this community with as many nonprofits as we have, a lot of things would not get done.
You're absolutely right. And the coolest part about my job is I get to manage those teams and all the volunteers. And it's just such a rewarding thing for me because I get to help these people help others and point them in the right direction and mentor them. And I absolutely agree with you. I appreciate them every single day.
So how does someone get involved in volunteering for Gabriel's Angels?
Well, we have two different types of volunteers. Helping hands are people that do not have a therapy dog but go along with and help out so they can help kind of regulate the situation and
kind of manage the scene, right?
Yep. And just help guide the situation. Some of them will actually plan the lessons as well. But it really makes a big difference when you're in a more chaotic environment. Mm-hmm. And then a therapy team, once they pass the therapy dog test, they reach out to myself and what we do. And you can get a hold of me through gabrielsangels.org, our webpage. And we can figure out the steps that we need to get you a ready to visit where you're ready and the place that you would be more effective.
All right. The big fundraiser for Gabriel's Angels Pets Helping Kids. It's going to be the event is called Salud 2015, and it's coming up on Friday, this Friday.
Yep.
6:30 to 9:30 at Plaza Colonial.
Yep.
And the location for that?
It's literally across the street from La Encantada, and it's off of, it's 2870 East Skyline Drive, and it's the southwest corner, and it's $65 per person, mm-hmm. and it's unlimited drink and eats, and with those restaurants, they paired wonderful meals, or not meals, but tastings yeah. to go along with
got
the,
some great
the wine. And
great food purveyors,
yeah,
as they say,
really
will
did.
Be
we...
out there. You can, you'll have some even some premium olive oil mm-hmm. To be tasted there. So it's going to be a great event, and the proceeds from this event will support Gabriel's Angels' mission of delivering healing pet therapy to abused, neglected, and at-risk children in Tucson and surrounding communities. They do a great job. Jeremy, thank you very much. Being with us, and good luck with Salud 2015 and your wonderful dog, the three-legged dog, Lacey. Just having Lacey next to me has really been great therapy for me, I know, on the show today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us.
All right, coming up on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and I'm afraid I live in a place where some of those scorpions get in the house, and I'm here to report one of the smartest calls I ever made was to my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? The only scorpion the Lehmans ever see is a dead one. Call.
We're Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
What's the wildest event in Tucson? ZooSon. Join Reed Park Zoo for a night of fun, food, entertainment, and auctions at the 22nd Annual ZooSon, presented by Casino del Sol Resort. Come and be a part of this incredible event with us on October 16th at 6 p.m. Experience tastings from over 25 Tucson restaurants, live music, entertainment, specialty drinks, and zoo animal encounters. All proceeds directly benefit the Reed Park Zoo. For tickets and more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon, 12:34 now here on a beautiful Tucson, Arizona day. It's time for our twice-monthly CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. Since 2005, over the last 10 years, Sun Corridor has facilitated more than 100 successful projects in Southern Arizona, representing 27,500 direct and indirect jobs and an overall economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, visit suncorridor.com. Joining me on the live line, Tom Dixon. Tom is the CEO for Banner University Medical Center South. Tom is a seasoned healthcare leader with more than 30 years in the industry. Most recently, he served as CEO of Banner Thunderbird Medical Center up in Glendale, Arizona. Mr. Dixon, a member of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for being on the show.
I'm looking forward to it.
Banner Health, as folks know, took over the University of Arizona Medical Center a little over 6 months ago. Tom, how is that transition going? Is there anything that surprised you so far?
Well, the staff and the physicians at University Medical Center have been through a lot of change in the last few years, other mergers, other major changes, and it's a very change-hearty group of people. In fact, they've been magnificent. There's been a clear sense that they're very happy that Banner is here to really kind of help reorganize things and get things going in the right path. A lot of the things are really the same. University Medical Center and Banner are both nonprofit organizations, so we are continuing to just emphasize on providing the best care for the patients and doing what we can to really continue to develop programs here. So it's going far better than I would have imagined. This is the first real merger or acquisition that I was involved in, so I really think it couldn't be going any better than it has been so far.
And one of the things that I know you and Banner are you monitor very closely is the all-important patient satisfaction. Are patients having a good experience? I think that's kind of the bottom line that folks are asking.
Yeah, so patient satisfaction is being measured very, very scientifically and in a very consistent fashion. It's actually a government program, so all hospitals in the United States use the same survey, the same questions, so we can compare our scores with other facilities. We certainly saw kind of a dip in patient satisfaction scores right after the merger, just because I think of the pace of change and the tension that was associated with that change in ownership. But we have seen results improve dramatically since then. So just recently, the South Campus, for example, their patient satisfaction scores increased by 20 points in 2 months. So we believe that our patients are satisfied and communicating their level of satisfaction to us through that survey process.
So this was a good fit, Tom, for the community. You mentioned both University Medical Center and Banner right off the bat, both nonprofits. And so the two cultures, it wasn't that difficult from a culture point of view in the medical profession to merge these two, in your opinion.
Correct. I mean, I think we're both here for the to improve and take care of patients, improve patient care, take care of patients. We're both nonprofit. In fact, Banner took advantage of this acquisition to create a university medicine division within Banner. So the organization formerly known as Good Sam, now it's called University Medical Center Phoenix, is in all the same division with the University Medical Center Tucson and University Medical Center South. And so we're able to really look for, you know, joint opportunities to collaborate between the Phoenix campus and the Tucson campuses and find the best way in which we can contribute to the overall success of the Banner system, which, as I've already said, is, you know, essentially what can we do to improve patient care and build programs that are needed by the community.
You're putting a lot of money into this project, a new medical infrastructure here, including the new hospital tower. What is that all about, Tom Dixon?
Well, there's, you know, on the Tucson campus, there's really three additions or three different facilities that were merged over time. The oldest portion of the hospital, which was built in the late 60s and it opened up in the early 70s, is outdated and it is not as functional as it could be. So we announced right at the time of the acquisition that we're going to invest $500 million in capital improvements here in Tucson on facilities. The vast majority of those monies are going to go towards creating a major new addition on the Tucson campus. It will essentially allow us to move most, if not all, of the services that are in the oldest portion of the building into a new building, just up, you know, basically up parallel with Diamond Children's Center. So it will look like a brand new addition. It will end up helping us really improve the flow between the facilities. It'll help us improve the adjacencies. It's something that's going to end up it's going to revolutionize the way we can take care of patients on the Tucson campus. So we are all very excited about it.
This is a big deal, and you've met with a lot of the neighbor groups, haven't you, in the area?
Yeah, we've had about 20 meetings with neighbors. You know, we want to make sure that we're not negatively impacting their lives. We've had a lot of suggestions made. We've been able to kind of incorporate changes in our design and in our, you know, parking and flow of you know, traffic in and traffic out to meet their needs. It's gone very well. That we've been given excellent feedback from our neighbors, and so that allows us now to begin to go through the zoning approval process.
And all of this begins when then, as far as actual construction?
You know, so some basic levels of construction have already started, the site preparation work. But we hope to begin by the end of the year. You'll be able to actually see changes on a campus early next year. So early 2016, you'll see steel going up and other foundational work for the expansion.
Tom Dixon, is there a new outpatient clinic as well coming up on Campbell at Allen Road?
There is. You know, we have a cancer center on Allen and Campbell, and that's really, we call that our North Campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to make room for this expansion that I was just talking about, we need to move some services off-site. The things that make the most sense to move up to the north, to the Arizona Cancer Center or to the North Campus, are outpatient services and physician offices. So when we move these outpatient services and physician offices up to the Cancer Center, that's going to create the room that is necessary for us to begin construction of our addition. We think physician offices and outpatient services on a different location makes sense because that will allow us to make these services much more convenient. It's be much more convenient for patients to access the services. There will not be, you know, as much activity as there is on our campus. So we're hoping that that's going to really make it easier for patients to use us.
And the upcoming bond issue in Pima County, is there a Banner component in any of that, Tom?
Yes, sort of. I mean, Banner leases University Medical Center South. So, you know, the hospital used to be called Keno. That facility is actually owned by Pima County, and we have a management agreement to operate it. And we have an excellent partnership with Pima County, collaborating on what to do and what to expand. So Banner can, as a leasor of this facility, we can purchase equipment, we can add supplies and add staff, and all of those are consistent with our agreement. But if there's any physical modifications that need to be made to the facility, that needs to be done by Pima County because, again, they're the owner of the facility. So there's an $18 million improvement campaign through that bond election that is going to essentially allow us to expand and improve and enhance the ICU, the intensive care unit, the surgery department, and then behavioral health. So if that bond passes, there'll be monies for us to actually physically expand the facility, and then, of course, we'll add the equipment and the employees and the services and the programs to make those programs a reality.
We're speaking with Tom Dixon, CEO for Banner University Medical Center South. And Tom, before we let you go, this is kind of returning back to Tucson. It's kind of a homecoming for you, isn't it?
It is. You know, I lived in Tucson for 1 year when I was a kid, and I just loved it. I came back to Tucson to get my undergrad degree, so I'm an alumni of U of A. And when I heard, you know, so I was working in Banner. I've worked in Banner now for 10 years. When I heard that this might become a reality for us down in Tucson, I couldn't volunteer fast enough
First in line, right?
I was first in line, and I was lucky enough to get this opportunity, so I am thrilled. I am thrilled to be back in this community.
You'll be rooting for the Cats, I'm sure, Saturday.
I already do.
Tom Dixon, a pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing some thoughts with us about what's coming up for Banner.
Thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Tom Dixon with us in our CEO interview series, which is sponsored by Sun Corridor. Check out suncorridor.com for more information. 12:45 on Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Dane Wall, president of the YMCA.
Bill Hussey with the Centurions.
Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance.
Bob Logan, assistant dean at the U of A College of Science.
Wow, what a lineup. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company. Yes, now offering flowers, lounge furniture, decor, and so much more. On Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson, and we keep getting these great reports from Silver City that the rains have really greened up the Gila National Wilderness, which the autumn leaves are happening over there. So this would be a great time to visit Silver City. There are wonderful places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA. The full listing of places to stay and the many things to do in historic Silver City listed on their website. That's southwestnewmexico.org. And again, just 3 hour drive. You're ready for a road trip. Would be a good one. Southwest New Mexico, a nice corner of the Southwest, a very pretty area. Let's welcome now Bill Hunt. Bill is a senior principal engineer at Raytheon Missile Systems. He is a Republican who is challenging Democrat Rahina Romero. Rahina is seeking a third term on the Tucson City Council. And Bill, how are you?
Fine, and thank you for having me today.
And Ward 1 is the race, one of three races where the incumbents are standing for re-election. So how would you characterize, Bill, this campaign so far?
Well, it's my first campaign, so it's tough for me to judge, but it's been a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
a lot of physical work as well, and getting people out to help me get the money I need, the signs out, that sort of thing.
What issue has emerged, Bill, that really differentiates you with your opponent?
I would say the fundamental issue would be the fiscal responsibility of the city or finance. We see the symptoms around the roads, that the parks, these things. These are symptoms of the problem of the money being, to me, misspent. The money needs to be prioritized and spent in the right places so we can get these things fixed, the infrastructure fixed, the parks fixed, the police and fire, all that resolved. So companies and small businesses want to come here and invest in the Tucson, develop here and increase the tax base. Notice the tax base, not the tax rate.
Has this council dropped the ball, Bill Hunt, when it comes to planning with the most recent transit strike? Do you think that could have been avoided?
Well, that's a tough one. I think that they probably did to some extent. PTM, which is a French company, which is a management company, apparently did not communicate well with the council. But the council should have insisted upon the communication. They should have understood and should have had a 5- and 10-year plan to look forward to and say, okay, let's take a look at what the out years are going to look like. There should not have been a surprise to anyone that the Teamsters requested more money this year.
Was the money available?
Well, the budget was set, right? And it was set for this year, last year, and so that money didn't include that, you know. So when the went on strike, what happened, we still don't know what the full settlement was, which is very unusual, very strange to me, because it's public money. But again, the rumors we're hearing about what it was. But because of the strike, there was a savings in the amount the city was spending because the buses weren't running fully, and it was just cheaper to run. And so there was some money left over. And I think that has been used up or will be used up in part of this settlement for this year.
Do people say to you that, what are you hearing? And I'm sure you're going door to door and you're meeting with a lot of potential voters. What are they saying the number one problem is that we're facing?
Oh, no doubt. The problem to the average person that is the streets, is the roads. That's what they see. Those are the bumpy things. So that's what they say. Are you going to fix the roads? I'll vote for you. You're going to fix the roads? I'm going to vote for you. And what they don't realize is that it's not just fixing the roads, it's everything else. And that's what I've learned since being in this race.
And the bond question comes up.
Okay. My bond advice to anybody who wants to listen is no on all the bonds. And here's the reason, notwithstanding your previous guest and so forth. But
everyone's got a different opinion.
Well, you take a look. I mean, he's got a vested interest.
Sure,
but we all have a vested interest in this, and this is our money. But I say is what makes the county think that they're going to be able to pay back this money in 15 or 20 years when they can't do it now? If you don't have the money, what makes you think you're going to have it to pay back that amount of money plus interest in the out years? And I haven't seen that. And, of course, what they can do is raise taxes. So I go, look, let's get back to a more fiscal sound policy, both in the county and in the city. And let's see if we can diminish and lessen the amount that we borrow.
Would you say the budget on the city council, they've used budget gimmicks to get where they are?
Oh, there's no question about it. I think, depending on your definition of gimmick, but you take a look, by law, the budget must balance each year. Mm-hmm. And they balanced it last year. If you don't tell me if this is a gimmick or not, they took money from the contingency fund, which they did not replace, and they sold government or city properties to balance the budget. What's the problem with that? Those are diminishing resources. They're not going to be around forever. How do you handle that in the out years? Where's it going to come? How are we going to balance it when the money in the contingency fund is gone and there's really nothing left to sell?
We hear the incumbent say, well, look, we've got downtown is booming and the roads are being fixed. But you're saying that the roads are not being fixed, what, fast enough or not enough of them being fixed?
Well, if you look around, there's – I bicycle a lot. I like new roads.
Yeah, you bicycled over here.
Right, exactly. I like good roads. So I can
you
find
said that. how many miles have you bicycled this week alone?
100. 100. I get 100 in a week. But the thing is – that, yeah, they're doing it now, but what about last year and the year before that? Where were the roads then? How come they weren't being fixed? Where's the plan? How am I going to – 5 years, where is it going to be? Where's the plan that says, okay, you know, this isn't rocket science. This is something, you know, roads are roads. The asphalt, they know the life of the asphalt. They know when the road's going to need to be repaired based on its wear and so forth. Where's the plan? That's my argument. Yeah, they've dropped the ball on those things. So, you know, let's get a plan going.
And you're a planning guy.
Well, that's what I do. You know, everything I do from flying to bicycling to work at Raytheon, I mean, everything's a plan. And the plans aren't perfect, but they are something of which gives you a baseline from which you can deviate, but you know you're deviating, and now you can make adjustments down in the out years.
People want public safety to be a huge priority, too.
Absolutely, and that is, well, it's part of the charter, right? Mm-hmm. Public safety, fire and police, we have to fix that problem of the police, the pension, the equipment, and it goes for the fire as well. People aren't going to want to live here, let alone come here, if the police response is slow, or you have to go to a website all the time for whatever. You know, you certainly don't want to go to a website and send an email to the fire department and say your house is on fire. I hope it doesn't come to that.
I hope not.
You know, but again, it would make light of that, but it's still a serious problem in both equipment and personnel and morale for these people.
How about the charter changes that are on the ballot? Giving the mayor a little more power?
I think I absolutely agree with that.
You do.
Yeah, I think we have a weak mayoral system. Mm-hmm. The mayor needs to have the power to run the city.
Mm-hmm. And I think more money for city council people is also on the ballot.
Well, that'd be nice. I tell you right now, I'm not running for the money. So.
You know, this is your first try at politics. What has surprised you? You were mentioning about the amount of work that's been involved, and I can only imagine. I never run for public office, but I can imagine it's a tremendous amount of work. What surprised you most about this whole process?
Okay, that's a good question, and to sum it up very quickly is that I've learned, first of all, whatever you run for, you learn a whole lot about it, like city government. I mean, I didn't know all this stuff before I started to run. I just knew the roads were bad, right? I mean, that's what everybody sees. But I tell you is that you have two modes as a candidate. You have the campaign mode, which we're seeing now, and also in the presidential election, right?
Mm, yeah.
And these people are campaigning, mm-hmm. all right? That may or may not have any indication at all at how well that person does on the actual job. Mm-hmm. You might be able to campaign beautifully mm-hmm. and then not do the job at all. Look at our president. I mean, okay. So if you have a good campaign, doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be able to do the job. But I don't know how to fix that.
That portion.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so you could be a great campaigner, and when you get elected, maybe a terrible administrator.
Exactly. Or the other way around.
Yeah.
But you don't know, and this is our system.
All right. Bill Hunt, where can we find out more about you? On your website?
Absolutely. You can go to TucsonWins.com, which mm-hmm. will list all three of the candidates, Margaret Burkholder and mm-hmm. Kelly Lawton and myself, all three Republicans, where you can donate to our each individual or all the campaigns and find out more about us there.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much for
thank
coming
you.
In. Bill Hunt with us running for Tucson City Council in Ward 1. Coming up this afternoon, we have For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Mike's show on every day, 4 to 5. Then we do a lot of talk in the morning. We do 2 hours. Chris and Joe wake up Tucson 6 to 8, the Daily Double, 8 to 9. With Chris DeSimone, and soon to be 9 to 10, Sean McCluskey's show is coming up in November, so we're going to be doing 4 hours of talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster, Ed Alexander, and I wish you a great
Intelligent
afternoon.
Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.